Turn, if you will, to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 13. You know, when you think of the Lord Jesus, we oftentimes think of His miracles, His benevolence toward the masses. But evidently, He loved the children very deeply. And it's a comforting thought to know that here He was, God veiled in human flesh, having a desire not only to pay attention to the children, but to have them sit on His lap, put His arm around them, and embrace them. Folks, that's touching. That's very touching. I start in verse 13. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. Now, who brought the children? Well, no doubt, particularly mothers, some fathers, because His fame had spread around. And there was something about the message they had heard that they wanted to get near this man of Galilee. And so they brought young children to Him. Now, it says, when they brought the children to Him, the disciples, I can imagine old Peter right there in the midst of it, saying, "Get out of the way, get out of the way. Don't bother the Lord, He's too busy." I think that probably happened. Don't bother Him with these little children. They don't understand. They're too young. They're not educated enough yet to know the things of the Lord. They felt pretty good about themselves. They wanted to be the gatekeepers. So they rebuked the people. "Get away here. Don't bother the Lord." What was the response of the Lord Jesus? "But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased." Folks, when the Lord is displeased, He's displeased. The Lord didn't like that one little bit. Now, these disciples turning people away, particularly little children. "So He was displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He said a mouthful there, folks. He sure did. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me. Don't you dare try to thwart them or keep them away from Me. You let the little children come unto Me. And forbid them not." Don't you dare say you can't come to where the Lord is. "For of such is the kingdom of God." I've had a couple of experiences in my life where I think that the main one I'm thinking about right now is an old brother at Piney Grove Church in Headland, Alabama, many, many years ago. He joined the church that weekend. He was 77 years old. He told me that when he was a young lad, about 6 or 7, that he had a desire to unite with it, with the Piney Grove Church. The congregation felt he was too young. He didn't understand all the things of God. He was just too young to comprehend. He said, "I never had the impression to join again for 70 years. What a shame. What a shame. Forbid not the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Next verse, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Think back in your life, whether you're male or female. When you were 4 or 5, 8 or 10, maybe even 12 or 13, sometimes when you get to be a teenager, you think you know everything. But before then, you thought mom and dad were the greatest things in the world. You depended on them completely. You trusted them with your life. You had open faith that they were there and they were going to take care of you. That's what Jesus is alluding to here. Childlike faith, not cumbered down with all the cares and complexities, thoughts of this world, but simple childlike faith to believe in God, that He is as He is. Paul talks in Hebrews about, but without faith it is impossible to please God. The only way to come to God is to have the faith of a little child, not encumbered with all the cares of this world and all our preconceived ideas. That's what the Lord Jesus, I believe, is alluding to here. Come as little children. Don't you dare try to forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Then what did He do? It says, and He took them up in His arms and put His hands upon them and blessed them. What a touching picture. This man, this God-man, taking little children up in His lap, putting His arms around them. What compassion. What love. What love. And He blessed them. What a blessing it is when you feel the presence of the Lord Jesus. That in by the eye of faith you can feel His arms around you. And you know in the eyes of God you're a little child. And knowing that the Savior loves you and cares for you. And that He blesses you. Yes, He blesses you year after year, day after day. After a touching scene, I would like to have been there to have seen that. Well, right after, He finished with the children. In verse 17, it says, and when He was gone forth into the way, in other words, He got up and moved out of the scene. He started walking away. Well, lo and behold, there came one running and kneeled to Him. Kneeled to Him and asked Him, good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Here's a young man. He was in a hurry. He came running and fell down and kneeled before the Savior. And he said, good Master, He didn't say, Lord Jesus. He didn't say, my Savior. But he said, good master, alluding to the fact that he felt him to be a rabbi. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Let's examine that for a moment. Look at it very carefully. First of all, he had the concept that eternal life was dependent upon him. Good master, what shall I do? Folks, that little tiny pronoun, I. The biggest little word in the dictionary. He said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He felt that eternal life was going to be dependent upon him. He had that preconceived idea that I'm a young man. I've never broken the commandments of God. I've always tried to live righteously, godly in this world. Why can't I have eternal life? You say, well, that's very strange. Folks, it's not so strange. There are a lot of people, even today, who feel that way. That if I just live a good life, I don't cuss, I don't do this, I don't do that, surely I'll go to heaven. I told you, I'll say it again. I had an old man, he was a deacon in another order, who told me one time, he's a good old fellow too. But he told me, he said, Brother Thomas, he said, I believe I've been a deacon in this church all these years, and all, he went on and on. And he said, I believe if anybody should get to heaven, it should be me. Well, even in those days, I didn't know a lot about the sovereign grace, but my mouth just went open. There was something hollow about that. Our eternal destiny is not dependent upon our free will, our running to or fro, our living a good life. And particularly when it says, I want to know what I can do to merit eternal life. Well, the Lord could have just looked down at him and shook his head and walked off. But what did the Lord do? It says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. The Lord started laying out the litany here of biblical principles. Now, what was the response of this young man? Here's what he said. He said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. What was he saying? Master, I'm a good fellow. I'm a real good fellow. I've kept all the commandments of God. I've lived a great life. I've done all these things. Everybody thinks I'm perfect. I've kept all the commandments. He failed to note that he had not even kept the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. This boy was a total narcissistic individual. You talk about self-love, here it was. He was in love with himself. I'm God's great gift to this world. If you don't believe it, just ask me. He said, Lord, he said, Master, he didn't say Lord, he said, Master, don't worry. He said, I've kept all these commandments from my youth. When he hadn't even kept the first commandment. Well, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, do you think this could be a child of God? It appears so. The Lord loved him. The boy was just mistaken in his analysis of things. His head wasn't screwed on right. He was blinded by the gods of this world and the works of the flesh. He thought that eternal life was dependent upon his free will. His life he was living, he thought was perfect, but folks, it was imperfect. The Lord knew the heart of this young man. And he loved him. Here's what he said. The young man. One thing thou lackest. Remember the boy was saying, I've done all that, I've done this, I've done that, and so forth. He said, one thing thou lackest. Think about this, young man. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up the cross, and follow me. Well, we'll get to the response of the young man in a moment here. But the Lord said, you're wealthy. You were born with a golden spoon in your mouth. You've got everything you ever wanted. Now, if indeed I'm a good master, then what you need to do is sell everything you have. Everything. Not keeping 25% or even 10%. But sell everything you have and give it to the poor. The gauntlet's been thrown down, hasn't it? You become a pauper. You become poor to the extreme. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. But the Lord's not finished yet. Then he says, then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then, after you've done that, take up the cross. And follow me. Sell all that you have. And then take up the cross. In other words, be a follower of me. Follow the way. You've heard me say before, the Bible is abundant with it in the New Testament. About following the Lord. On the surface, it sounds easy to say, I will follow the Lord. I just make up my mind, I'm going to follow the Lord. Not so easy in reality. When you follow the Lord, you become the enemy of the world. And in those days, if you were a follower of the way, you were hunted down like mad dogs and put to death. You were the offscouring of the earth. The establishment, the ungodly world, did not want anything to do with you because you were upsetting their apple cart. But you will remember, at the very commencement of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, what did he say to those disciples? Take up your cross and follow me. Folks, that message is still true to this very day. If you want to have eternal glory with the Lord Jesus, first of all, you're going to be willing to sell all you have. Because what we have really is wood, hay, and stubble. There's going to come the day when all the earthly treasure, the bank accounts, and everything else are going to be gone. They'll burn as wood, hay, and stubble, folks. And then, to take up your cross. To be a true follower of Jesus Christ. It was no easy thing. No flippant attitude. Well, I'll follow the Lord. No big problem. But thinking you're going to do it and actually doing it is a world of difference. So then he adds to, I want you to be a pauper. Are you willing to be a pauper, he says? Then take up your cross. Commit to me. Commit to me because I'm the Savior of glory. And then follow me. Follow me. Did the disciples find it easy to follow the Lord? No. Is it easy for me to follow the Lord? No. Nor is it easy for you. To follow the Lord aright, folks, is a great big job. It's a daily job. It's a prayerful job. And to be really a follower of the cross, you're going to offend many of the ungodly. Because they don't want the light. They don't want the testimony. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Be a follower of me. People like to use that term, I'm a Christian. The term itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But let's analyze that for a moment. If you say, I'm a Christian, what are you actually saying? That I am a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. And to be a true Christian, you want to be Christ-like. Christ-like. So are you beginning to get the picture that it's not as easy as we think to be a Christian? So many people are flippant in their attitude. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. They have no concept what it means. They have no concept about taking up the cross. No concept about following the Lord. They follow the impulses of the flesh. That was the case of this young man. This young man in love with himself. Well, what was the response of the young man? It says, and he was sad at that saying. He was sad at that saying. And went away grieved, for he had great possessions. First of all, he wanted to hold on to his possessions. Next, he didn't want to take up the cross. Next, he didn't want to follow the Lord. He went away sad that this picture was not turning out the way he thought it would be. He thought the Lord Jesus would be so enamored with him, so impressed with him, that he would be bowled over. Instead, the Lord in his love rebuked him and said, "The things of this world don't matter. Don't matter. There's coming a time when all these things are going to burn. There'll be no more. But things that are eternal, following me and taking up your cross, being a true Christian, they're going to stand the test of time." And the young man couldn't do it. Do you know people like that? I do. You do too. They want the easy road. They want to be able to say, "I'm a Christian with no commitment." How hollow, how shallow that is. What do you think the reaction of the Savior was? The young man walks away, head bowed down, grieving, because he didn't get the answer he wanted, or the response he wanted. So the Lord looks around and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Another place about going through a needle in a haystack. It didn't say that if you have money, you won't enter the kingdom of God. But those that hoard the money, those that worship the money, see, the Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. See, that's what we'd like to quote. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, this young man loved his money more than he did the Lord. And what the Lord is saying is this. It's the love of money that is the curse, and not money itself. Well, the disciples were astonished at his words. And here's what he said. He said, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." The young man and a lot of people are so encumbered with the love of money that they miss the scope of God's salvation. Here's what he said also. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." They were astonished. You remember the rich fool? It's somewhat the same event, thought here. Remember the rich fool? He was another one that was enamored with that pronoun I. Remember he said, I built this, I've done this, I. And God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." Let us not trust in the riches, material things of this world, but trust in the almighty sovereign grace of Almighty God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think on these things. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Number 54, I'll give an opportunity. If you have a desire this morning, to your night, to El Bethel.